Last week we were looking at the matter of work and giving. And I hope that since that time you've been really enjoying your work and doing it for the Lord and having a different attitude toward it. You know, so much of a man's life and a woman's life too is made up of work. And if you just regard work as a curse and something that is to be avoided at all costs, it makes life pretty miserable really much of the time. If you can view it instead as something that is a blessing from God, thank God you got the strength and the health to work. And thank God you can help provide for other people through this, your labor, and have a positive attitude, and then to be generous with that which God gives you. Now this time we're going to go on into the next few verses, Ephesians 4, 29-31. He says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying or building up, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice." Now he says here, guard your tongue. Be careful of your words. Let no corrupt, no rotten, no worthless, no bad speech proceed out of your mouth. But instead he says words that are good for building up, for strengthening, for helping other people, that it may give grace to those that hear. Isn't the tongue a tremendous force for either good or evil? Think of the Lord Jesus when he was here, how he went about teaching, and how the crowds followed him, and how they hung on his words, and how they listened. How today we read those words that he spoke. For example, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7. Beautiful, wonderful words. Words that move a person to want to live more like the Lord Jesus. Love your enemies, he says. Pray for those who abuse you, who despitefully use you, and so forth. Tremendous teaching. And wherever the Lord Jesus went, his words were helpful to people. Not always what they wanted to hear. Sometimes, you know, his enemies, those who were hypocrites, those who were false teachers, felt antagonized by his words. They rejected them, and he could say some strong things about those that were hypocrites. You read Matthew 23, and you'll see some of the strongest words in the Bible, and Jesus spoke them to people who made a show of religion, but had no heart for God. And Jesus feels the same way today. But all the way, the tongue can be used for good or for evil. How are you using your tongue? In James chapter 3, and I want to read some of these verses here from a more modern translation. He says in verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, or a mature man, able to keep his whole body in check." In other words, he says, if you can control your words, you are a mature person. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth proceeds cursing, praise and cursing, my brothers, this should not be. The power, the tremendous power for good and for evil that the tongue is. The words we say. He uses a couple of examples. He says, you put a bit in the mouth of a horse, a bit and bridle, and you ride him, and you direct him with just this small piece of equipment. The bit, the bridle, and the horse, this horse that may weigh 800 pounds or even 1,000 pounds, he is submissive to you. He goes the direction that you want him to go simply because you indicate that through the bridle, this small thing that controls this great animal. And then he says, you look at the ships, and I myself spent some years at sea and steered ships at times, and here you have a rudder. It isn't that large a part of the ship. If you see a ship in dry dock, the rudder certainly isn't the largest part of the ship. And yet that rudder, in response to the helmsman, directs that whole ship. It may weigh thousands and thousands of tons, but the ship responds to that small rudder, and it gives direction to that ship. And he says, look at a forest, a whole forest. Thousands of acres of priceless timber can be destroyed in a matter of hours with one match, with one small fire, with a spark, and all that damage be done by something so small. So he talks here about these different things, the bit, the bridle. He talks about the rudder, so small. He talks about a spark, a fire, so small. Look at the control that they have. Look at the damage that can be done in a forest fire. I don't know if you've ever seen a forest that's been burned, badly burned, but in the western states, and especially where there are many great forests, you can go into areas where there have been many thousands of acres just devastated because someone just flicked a cigarette out the window. So small, such a small thing, that all that destruction. The Bible says, guard your tongue. How much difficulty we have with the tongue. How easy it is for a man to lose his job simply because he doesn't guard his tongue and he begins to lip off to his employer. How easy it is for a home, a family to be destroyed because the tongue isn't guarded. Because the husband maybe begins to say harder and harder things to his wife. Or she may respond and cut him with her words. And these words cut and wound and can destroy a marriage. The power of the tongue. How many churches, how many fellowships of Christians are fragmented and wounded and destroyed by talk, by gossip, by slander, by saying things that are better not said, by criticizing leadership, by just pettiness. The tongue. And on the contrary, what a blessing it can be. What a blessing. Maybe you've been going through a time of sorrow and suffering. Someone has come to you and just spoken a few words to you, and it's just been like a healing hand put upon you. You felt encouraged. You felt, I can go on living. Simply because someone spoke some words of love and kindness. The power of the tongue. How are we using our tongue? This is what he pleads with us about here. And he says, oh, that your words might be helpful that your words might be those who would build up and strengthen. Not necessarily that they're always smooth words. At times the Lord Jesus spoke sharp words, words of rebuke, but they were words that were meant to heal. It was sort of like the surgeon who at times may go in with his knife, with a scalpel, and he may have to cut, but he does it with a view to healing. And here, as the Lord Jesus spoke, and as at times Paul would have to speak very frankly, remember he says in Galatians, "Am I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" There was no desire to hurt, but there was a desire to see healing and cleansing and good health, good spiritual health. The word. What kind of words are you and I speaking? Here's someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Do we speak words to him that will bring him to God? Do we witness to him? You say you're a Christian, you're working with people every day. Some of them are lost, they're on their way to hell. One day they'll cry out to you from hell and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? You said nothing to me. You could share jokes with me. You could talk politics with me. You talked the weather to me. But I wasn't a believer. I didn't know how to be saved, and you never told me." We need to speak words of witness to those who are without the Lord Jesus. We need to speak words that are encouraging and helpful to those that are Christians, giving grace, building up those that hear, it says. There are a lot of Christians that need encouragement. Many times you can just, for example, share a verse from the Word of God that's going to help you with someone who's going through a difficult time. And it can be used by God to heal and to strengthen. What are the words we're using with others? Here Paul pleads with us, "Guard your words. Let nothing corrupt come out of your mouth. Nothing worthless. Nothing that will be damaging. Nothing that will be harmful. Let your words be healing words, strengthening words, building words, as you touch the lives of men and women around you." And the first healing, of course, that a person needs is to come to know the Lord Jesus. And maybe you're listening today to this program and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus yet. You're still lost. We would say to you, won't you trust him? Won't you turn to him? Won't you be saved?